much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Okay, moving right along. Here are three gifted singers who have all kissed the Blarney Stone. Ladies and gentlemen, the Leprechaun Brothers. Yay!
Hi, Danny, bye. Hi, Danny, boy. Hi, Danny, boy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
St. Patrick wasn't Irish, and he wasn't called Patrick.
My whole life is a lie.
He was actually British, and was originally named Maewyn Sukkot. St. Patrick was only known as Patrick once he'd become a priest, and the only reason he traveled to Ireland in the first place was because he'd been kidnapped.
No, he's English.
Huh?
Yeah, and Michael Flatley as well.
He's the Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, he's American.
Michael Flatley? I thought he was as Irish as potatoes.
Potatoes? There's another one.
No, please, not potatoes.
But they came from Peru in the 16th century.
This whole day is a sham.
This is St. Patrick's Day. It is our national holiday, and we will celebrate properly, okay? And we're going to go out there, we're going to drink budget Polish beer, watch American marching bands, and set off Chinese fireworks, yeah?
Yeah!
All right, go Ireland.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You can't polish this turd.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Hey, at least we're alive.
Roll another one.
In my opinion, incorrect.
Just like the other one.
Ah, mamma mia.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm gonna let my butthole talk.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
So warm.
Roll another one.
Listen to the kids, bro.
Just like the other one.
No, make better choices.
This one seems to be about
to. He's got the face with the face.
I don't have another cent.
Come on, Ed. There's got to be a catch.
There's no catch.
Can you get the EPA involved, maybe? Is it?
Just pass it around.
This is incredibly immature behavior.
Yes, we love the radio.
And now,
what's Irish and stays out all night? Patio furniture. Get it?
Our feature presentation.
It's Patty. Okay. Hey, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday. If you couldn't tell, it's St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March. Hey, ladies.
Hey, Hi, Bean.
What's going on?
You know,
gangster stuff.
Sure.
Drinking.
Do you, do either of you do anything, make plans for St. Patrick's Day? Is this a holiday on your calendar?
I used to. It used to be very big for me. I'd either go back to Boston for like a long weekend, go to the parade in Southie, do it up. I was younger then.
Right, yes.
And it was fun. And now I've become that person that's like, oh, it's amateur day. What losers can't even hold their alcohol. I've become her,
yeah.
And I hate
Chip,
it.
Chip, how about you? Will you go out tonight, or is it a night you want to stay away from the bars?
I'm going actually to Musink tonight, so I'll be there. But usually I'll go out if it's like not during the week of working here, but on the if it's on the weekend, I'll go.
Shamrock Tattoo?
All over.
Okay, cool.
There were a couple of controversies yesterday because there always are about everything all the time ever now. I wanted to ask you, you're Irish, right? Your family is Irish, Allie?
My mother is an O'Neill from Ireland. My father is a Mackay from Scotland.
My grandmother was Irish, but I've always much more identified with Britain since my mom was British. But there were a couple of controversies yesterday, and I know one of them I think I understand, the other one I don't. What was the backlash against Vice President Pence for saying top of the morning yesterday? Is that now on the list of things we're not supposed to say on St. Patrick's Day?
Wow. You follow very different people. I didn't hear a word of this.
Yes, there was a lot of controversy about Top of the Morning. It was considered a gaffe, and I don't know. And one
really?
Explanation
really?
I saw didn't make sense to me, that it was an Irish-American thing and not an Irish thing, which to me makes no sense because Mike Pence is an Irish-American, and he was talking to largely Irish-Americans. He was talking mostly to people who are from Ireland, you know, not to Irish, but people whose ancestors are from Ireland. So I didn't get what that controversy was at all.
And it seems like there's so much more you can be mad at about
yes.
Mike Pence, then
yes.
that doesn't seem like it's worth it.
That to me is an effort to connect with people, is to say Top of the Morning. I have no problem with that. And the other one, and again, this is not my fight, but lots of people around the world took great offense to what is now being called Pintgate, to Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, who yesterday held up a pint of Guinness mm-hmm. at the Friends of Ireland luncheon yesterday. And apparently it was a dismal pint, I am being told, because it did not have enough foam in the top of the glass.
Well, that's just disrespectful to beer. I don't know what the controversy was, but it's just disrespectful.
Yeah, I agree with Allie.
Well, a lot of people agree with you, and I tend to give Mr. Ryan the benefit of the doubt here because I imagine they had to bring in that pint from somewhere, didn't they? I mean, I can't imagine they have, you know, they have taps of Guinness standing by there at the Capitol, I wouldn't think. I mean, I would think somebody had to go out and get it. So, you know, you got to allow for a little bit of travel time. Am I wrong about that?
I don't. Why? What? Who cares? Who cares about any of this?
On Thursday,
the problem's been solved.
Right?
Just beer and Top of the Morning.
Good Lord.
Irish journalist Naomi O'Leary, how's that for a name, shared a photo saying, first Mike Pence at Top of the Morning, then Paul Ryan holds up this appalling pint. Grave missteps by the U.S. So then people started weighing in from all over the world, including lots of people from Ireland. Terry Winchcombe writes in and calls it fake brews. Emily Riley says...
No, that's funny.
Emily Riley says, the tremendous amount of real estate at the top of that pint, it was probably pulled an hour before.
Yeah, that it is disrespectful, especially to a Guinness. My God.
Yeah. Not sure about Pence, Matteo Lansfam says, but Ryan has definitely given up any chance to be allowed to enter Ireland ever again.
Oh.
So you keep a man out of the country because he poured a poor pint.
Yeah, they can
do
that. There's a whole list of people at the airport.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was their travel ban? Is anyone who'd been in a photo with a bad pint? Damian Cereso writes in about Paul Ryan. This is definitely a man who's never had to hold a Guinness while watching his Premier League team break his own heart in a pub at 6 a.m. So that guy's very Irish. A
wow.
Couple more as things escalated quickly yesterday. Southpaw says, Paul, this is NYC Southpaw, is the Twitter handle, probably someone you know, Allie. Paul Ryan has brought shame upon our flag.
Wow.
So now it's turned into a thing, right?
I mean.
So I feel like it's a little bit overblown. I give the speaker the benefit of the doubt on that one, but a lot of people very upset by that appalling pint.
Wow. I am just sad I missed this. An opportunity to be mad.
I know.
I'm very upset I missed.
And you love people that overreact to silly things.
I love it.
All right. Let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
I'm going to pepper spray you in the face.
Well, I don't know.
I missed the new bear.
I don't think that's necessary. We do have a pretty good show today, including more tickets for Kevin Bean's March of Bow Wow singles party. It's going to be in Las Vegas 1 week from tonight. Next hour. We're going to be looking for you ladies only next hour, as we talk about your dating app disasters. This is our chance to get you in front of some people in real life. Get away from swipe and write, right? So we want to hear your stories coming up next hour. Director and writer James Gunn is going to be in studio with us. He's the man who wrote the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and the new Belko Experiment.
Bean.
What?
What'd you think?
I mean, a lot of people's heads explode. If that's what you're looking for in a movie, this is your movie. It turns out, by the way, in my deep research yesterday, Mr. Gunn also wrote the Scooby-Doo movie.
I think pretty much any movie you liked, he's had some impact on it.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to private investigators on the program today. If we've ever done this before, I don't remember. It's been a long, long time. But we had a caller on the show earlier this week. We found out it was a PI. We got chatting with him a little bit, and we found out that that is a fascinating line of work. So we're going to hear some of those stories in the 8 o'clock hour. We had scheduled the great Andy Dick in studio today. He is the subject of a new documentary called Everybody Has an Andy Dick Story.
Mm-hmm.
As of this morning, he is not yet confirmed. But that doesn't mean that Andy Dick won't just show up.
Oh.
That's what I love about Andy, is he is a question mark. He is a walking question mark. So we may or may not have Mr. Dick on the program today. We got more tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness, April 1st at the Shrine as well. That'll be coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. And Ralph has the showbiz beat when we return, and the movie beat too, all coming up right after this on K-Rock. It sounds to me like Allie is angling to come on vacation with you, Ralph.
I need a vacation from her questions about my vacation.
Would like to know what time you leave, what airline.
I
would like
to
be there for
your
send-off.
Go about your business.
I've got balloons.
Nothing to see here. Carry on. Move along, people. Nothing to see.
Whole crowd of people to hold signs.
I don't miss your signs or your people.
Are you sure?
I just need your silence.
So you just want her to meet you at the destination then, not at the airport.
I want her to meet me in hell.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I think we're here.
We're already doing that. Hey, it's a 5:55 Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman, also a man with a little Irish in him, if I recall correctly.
Only 100%, that's all. Irish-American.
Your parents came here from Ireland?
No, but my great-great-great-grandparents did. Potato famine.
Okay.
Both sides. You all right, Alex? Yes. Seen ghosts?
No. There was a weird, like, feather coming at my face.
All right. That's no feather. Yeah,
but don't all of those Irish people that came to America then intermingle with non-Irish people, though, to make you a...
Yeah, there's a couple Germans and Swiss thrown into the pot, but primarily Irish, yeah. Sorry, you want some DNA, Bean? You want to break me down to see exactly what part?
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. He'd love some of your DNA.
Speaking of all your gaffes you were talking about, you missed my favorite. First of all, top of the morning is BS.
Okay,
no
tell me about
Ireland
that.
It would be like going to a meeting of an Italian cultural society and going, "Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball."
Okay,
it'd be that kind of thing.
Or so saying
they would look
British...
at each other and go, "Wow, that's really
so." Just... Like saying to a British guy, "Like pip pip cheerio."
Exactly.
Same thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So those who were angry at the vice president were allowed.
Yes.
That was a cultural misappropriation.
Say slancha or something. You know, something Gaelic. Just try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
And then Paul Ryan, that was an abysmal
you're
down
pint.
With it, was a pitiful pint.
Okay.
But my favorite was our president, Donald T. Trump, 45, and his favorite Irish proverb.
That somebody pulled off the internet that isn't Irish.
You missed out on this
Nigerian
proverb. It was written by a Nigerian Muslim poet. Come on! This is my favorite Irish poem of all time. I love the Irish.
That's right.
I love Ireland, and here it is. It's my favorite. Always remember to forget the things that made you sad, but never forget to remember the things that make you glad. From Al-Bashir Adam Al-Hassan.
Which also isn't even a proverb. That's a poem.
Yes. It's awesome on so many levels.
That's pretty fantastic.
That is
it's
good.
A deep, deep, awesome cut.
I did see that, but I tend to err on the side of not bringing up the president if we don't have to, just because it gets so many people so mad on both sides of that, you know? But you're right. It's appropriate in this case while we're talking about politics meeting the holiday yesterday.
Come on, ostrich. Get your head out of that sand. You got to live. You got to live in the world, man.
Yeah,
right.
Ostrich.
Allie knows. See her on vacation. I wish Kevin was here because I would desperately need to ask him what state has the most Irish people.
Why can't we call him?
Let's just ask the ghost of Kevin and see. Let's all join hands around the Ouija board and see if we can get an answer. Kevin, what state in America has the most Irish people?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
A good day.
This was a success.
Good days. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, my friend.
That was a year apart, by the way.
I know. That's why it's a yearly tradition. Every year we ask him.
That's
We could have added on a third level this year if he had just worked.
Guarantee you ask him Monday.
Oh, yeah. We'll ask him Monday. Yeah.
Oh,
I won't be here Monday.
Oh, man.
Someone else will have to ask him. Yes, the highest percentage of Irish people in America is in Massachusetts. However, the highest number, so about a quarter of all the people who live in Massachusetts are of Irish descent. But the highest number of Irish Americans is right here in California.
That makes sense.
Because the population is so huge. But California is number one, New York is number two, and then Pennsylvania, Florida, and Illinois. All right.
Okay.
There you go. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. This is awesome. Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, man.
Love him. We had him in here in the show. We all fell in love with him. He is a big believer at the age of 76. People ask him, how are you so spry? Don't you get the aches and pains, you know, like most older people? He says, yes, he suffers from arthritis. But the reason he doesn't really feel any negative effects from it is because of the magic healing power of pot.
Yeah.
He says he finds immense relief by using cannabis-based sprays, ointments, pills, and occasionally... Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He says it also helps him sleep, and he's thrilled that he can make a fist again.
Oh, God. Wow.
I'm saying.
We get it.
He can make a fist.
To fight someone, not for what you just did.
To fight the Romulans. He was a captain of a starship.
Oh, okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these sons of Ireland are born on today, St. Patrick's Day. Although it's very funny, Dave, the King of Mexico, gave me my list of birthdays. Mm-hmm. And it says these stars were born on today, March 3rd.
This might not be good.
This may not actually be a list of people born on the 17th. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I believe it is true that Kurt Russell was born today, 66 years ago. How great is Kurt Russell?
Real good.
And he will be one of the stars of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is directed by James Gunn, who will be on the show today.
And nice. He's from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, stop. Gary Sinise is 62 today. Rob Lowe is 53. Billy Corgan is 50 years old today.
He's Irish, right?
I believe he is. Rob Kardashian, he's Irish. I know that.
I think he's not.
He's 30. Hozier is 27. John Boyega, Finn.
Aww.
Finn, that's an Irish name.
It is.
Right?
Oh, Finnegan.
He's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This time next week, you guys, we are going to be in Las Vegas for Kevin Amin's March of Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party at the Alto Bar at Caesars Palace on Friday night. You get a two-night hotel stay at the Link Hotel, round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus. We are looking for ladies right now, 21 and up. And I guess here's the question I'll ask both of you guys before we get into the movie beat here. Ralph and Allie both. Do you think that in general, dating apps have been good for people meeting other people and getting into relationships or bad for them?
Oof. That's tough.
Is there some positive, that have had,
oh, yeah. I know people that have had great success and gotten married and it's been great. I know other people that it's made them swear off men completely. They're now hermits in their home. I'm not talking about myself.
Well, you didn't think?
Okay.
I think it's fast food. I think it's fast food for relationships. And I think you can meet more people, but it makes it less organic and significant because the way you're meeting them is such sort of a superficial Amazon, order it over your phone kind of way. I think it's good for hooking up. It's been good for, like, sex.
Sure.
But I'm not sure if it's been a positive influence on relationships.
Wait, what's a relationship, then?
See what you did? Because you think sex is your relationship.
I think it has turned a lot of people, and again, I'm way in the distance from this phenomena. I missed it. But I think for a lot of people, it has turned them looking at other people, potential partners, as just being disposable, as I'll give you 1 minute of my time, and if there's anything that I think is a red flag or disappoints me or something that I don't like immediately out of the gate, I'm going to discard you and move on to the next person. Like, in other words, you don't spend any kind of time trying to see if maybe there's really a relationship there.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me anyway.
Well, I think there has to be sort of a spark or some sort of initial hit of interest with anyone that you meet, even if it's at a bar or you get set up by friends or whatever. You know within the first few minutes whether there's any interest there or not.
Chemistry strong.
What I feel bad about is the ability to next so easily.
That's what I'm saying. You find
another partner so quickly that you don't really feel any necessity to try to invest yourself at any one time.
Well, having said all that, the reason we bring it up is because we are looking for ladies right now, 21 and up, who want to join us in Las Vegas for our singles party next week. And the topic is your dating app disasters. So you were on Tinder, or you were on OkCupid, or you were at Match.com or Bumble or whatever you use.
Grindr, right? Yeah. Who's with me?
I don't think what? Lady... That's for men.
What?
For men.
Yeah, that explains so much.
So You swiped right on somebody. You guys got together. It was a disaster. We want to hear your dating app disaster stories. If you're a lady right now, we're looking for you at 1-800-520-1067.
If you're a lady right now.
And we will give you a chance if you win tickets to our singles party to put the app down for a day.
Yes.
And meet some people in real life in a room in a party situation.
Wow.
Actually, a face-to-face conversation.
Imagine a lot of people just going to be staring at each other, moving their hand in front of each other's faces, trying to get them to go away, and they're just not going anywhere. I don't understand. Why? This is the worst app ever. I just get the same picture, just stays in front of me the whole time.
I blocked him. Why is he still talking?
But the 3D is so good. It looks so realistic.
Nice VR.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. Ladies only 20 and up, 21 and up. Excuse me. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. First, though, it's Friday. Rob is here. That means it's time for the Movie Beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch this weekend. Really interesting. Starting with in limited release, just opening in L.A. and New York City this weekend, is a new film from Terrence Malick. Those words alone could sometimes fill you with great anticipation or great dread, depending on the film.
He does swing for the fences, doesn't he?
Yeah, sometimes he'll make a four-hour-long film where Brad Pitt is looking at dinosaurs, and then sometimes he makes something like Song to Song, which looks fascinating to me. It takes place in the music scene in Austin, Texas. It is a love story, basically, but it's sort of two intersecting love triangles. And it deals with the issues of obsession and betrayal and jealousy and passion. But listen to this cast. Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Rooney Mara.
All right.
Michael Fassbender.
Yes, please.
And Natalie Portman.
Okay.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
All-stars.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Song to Song.
I didn't know why I was coming to this party. And then I saw you and I thought, that's why.
We thought we could just roll and tumble. Live from song to song. Kiss to kiss. And as I
still walk on. We should make a record together. I know you do the live music thing, but you want to make some money? You've got talent.
Help me. I have a condition. I can't be left alone.
Any movie that's got Del Shannon in it has me as my heart already.
I want to hear that song right now.
I'm the walking in the rain. The Belko experiment. We'll be talking more about that film later today.
Oh, dear.
We all had a chance to see it, and it is twisted
wow.
in the best possible way, right?
Wow.
As Ali's often... apt to say. What kind of film is this, Allie? What will this do to you?
What will it do to me?
Yeah.
It'll pucker your butthole.
It's a butthole pucker.
Oh, it's a butthole pucker,
for sure.
Right? Well, it actually made me think about who I would kill that I work with.
Immediately. All of a sudden, the metal shutters came down around K-Rock, and we had to start taking each other out. Yeah, I've had that list for a long time. How do you get a bullet to go that far, though, right?
Right? So many people.
You're like a ballistic missile or something.
I can hear you guys.
What? Great cast. Tony Goldwyn, John C. McGinley, John Gallagher Jr., who I love. 80 Americans are locked in a high-rise corporate office in Bogota, Colombia, and they are ordered by an unknown voice to start taking each other out, or double that amount will be killed by... the powers that be. Fascinating social experiment in survival, in how you feel about your fellow man, about yourself. Really fascinating stuff, the Belko experiment. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Kill three of your co-workers, or we will kill six others.
His head exploded from the inside.
What? When we start working here, they put tracers in the back of our heads.
We do not have the right to take innocent human lives.
What are you doing?
My wife and kids need me.
In 2 minutes, we want 30 of you dead. If 30 of you are not dead, we will end 60 of your lives ourselves.
You are all going to die tonight.
Ah!
That is not a good day at the office.
It was written by James Gunn, who we will be talking to later on today, and directed by Greg McLean. So, just fascinating stuff.
Wow.
I think you will enjoy it. If you are strong-willed and strong of stomach, this is not a movie for the faint.
No. Don't be eating spaghetti when you watch
Absolutely do not. Or human brains. Don't be eating human brains while
you watch it. That's a good tip.
Thanks. T2 opens today. I'll be back.
No, I don't think that.
What?
No.
Train Spotting.
Come with me if you want to live.
No. Trains, not Terminator, Train Spotting.
I am the brother of the guy from that band.
What? Robert Patrick?
Robert Patrick. His brother's in, what's the band, Chip?
Filter,
yeah.
Oh, I have blades for arms.
T2.
No.
This is Train Spotting.
More Scottish, yeah.
Completely Train Spotting, too, yeah. We had Danny Boyle in earlier talking about this film last week, I guess it was. Ewan McGregor, Johnny Lee Miller, Robert Kylo all return. After 20 years abroad, the gang is back together again. Sick Boy, Spud, Begbie, all your fan favorites from Trainspotting reunited in T2, Trainspotting 2. Here are some clips from the... I'm sorry. This is a scene where Mark is giving Spud some advice on how to stay clean and sober.
I can't feel again, Mark. You know, I need to detox the system.
Oh, Spud, detox the system. What does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's not getting it out of your body that's the problem. It's getting it out of your mind. You are an addict.
I think I haven't heard that 100,000 times, Mark. You got 12 more steps for my comedy.
So, be addicted. Be addicted to something else.
Like you're running until I feel sick?
Yes. Or something else. You've got to channel it.
So what did you channel into?
Getting away.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, Chip. One's going to die tonight.
Danny Boyle grabbed my arm as he was leaving and he said...
Danny Boyle.
No. He did not sing. He said, there will be redemption for Spud.
Oh.
Because I'm so concerned about Spud.
I would wait till they remake it in English. I think that's...
Leave my people.
You don't know what you're talking about. That's why you have to get it out of your head. Not out of your body.
Oh.
And... lastly, which promises to probably be the big smash hit of the weekend, tale as old as time, true as it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly.
Asshole.
Oh, come on!
Oh, Alex Jones hates
Beauty
it.
Beauty and the Beast. Emma Watson.
I know that I want to punch you in the nose.
Dan Stevens, Luke Evans, Josh Gad, who we love.
Love Josh Gad.
The live-action adaptation of the classic Disney animated film, Beauty and the Beast. Oh, can't wait to see this film. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Papa?
Now you must leave here. This castle is alive.
Who's there?
Do you wish to take your father's place? Show me the girl.
Look at her. What if she is the one? The one who'll break the spell.
The master's not as terrible as he appears.
I say we kill the beast!
Think of the one thing you've always wanted. I find it in your mind's eye and feel it in your heart. Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid.
You are all going to die.
No! Everybody's going to be saved because then the last petal from the rose doesn't fall.
Oh,
a lot of competition this weekend.
Yeah, good weekend, right?
Mm.
If you can't find something you want to see this weekend, you're just an ass. Don't be an ass. Go to the movies.
Excuse me.
See? Alex Jones agrees. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Ladies only, this time at 1-800-520-1067. You're 21 or up. You want to join us in Las Vegas for next weekend's Kevin and Bean Marchica Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party. By the way, brought to you courtesy of Chips, the Buddy Cop comedy starring Dax Shepard and Michael Pena in theaters that same day, Friday, March 24th. So, dating app disasters is what we're looking for. It seemed like a good idea when you swiped right. Didn't work out that way. Let's hear your stories and then maybe send you to Las Vegas to do better. Let's start with Maria. She's in Arcadia. She's up first on line one. Maria, thank you so much for calling and for holding on. What happened to you, my dear?
Good morning, party people. Well, I met this gentleman who seemed to be great. He wined and dined me and promised me basically the moon and stars, and he turned out to be a raging alcoholic. And it was awful.
I guess that's always a possibility no matter who you meet, no matter how you meet them, is they might have some sort of big problem like alcoholism. There's kind of – that's not something they necessarily put in their profile on the dating app, right?
You know, you think they would. Some of them do say that they drink, but this guy just said, you know, an occasional drinker, and he had the shakes and everything. It was
– Oh,
but,
wow.
You know, he hit it really well, and unfortunately, one night, you know, he spent the night and – next morning I saw him and he was shaking and I said, well, what's the deal? in hindsight, I should have seen it, or I should have, he had the telltale signs.
Right.
I just, you know, I guess I was smitten by the situation.
All right, yeah. Here's the only thing I'll say, and that is, I guarantee there'll be a lot of alcoholics at our party. Do you still want to come to Vegas?
Well, they have the shakes, though.
Hopefully
you catch it right before the shakes. Mm-hmm. So, all right. What do you think, Allie? Maria,
absolutely.
Yes? All right, Maria, we will see you next weekend. Thanks so much for calling. Let's try Raquel Santa Clarita up next, line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's not try Raquel. Was that her, Chip?
No, you're good.
Yeah.
We got her now? Okay. Hey, Raquel, what's going on?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey.
Good. What happened? So what dating app were you on?
I was on OkCupid, and I had met a guy. It was a first date. We were eating dinner when a young, very young girl, he was a high school music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So a very young girl comes up to him and says, you know, we missed you around school, blah, blah, blah. And then he kind of gets really uncomfortable, and he's like, you know that I can't be talking to you. And I was like, okay, this is really awkward. What's going on?
Yeah.
So right after she walked away, he kind of was in a situation where he's like, well, that was weird. And I was like, what happened? And apparently he had to kind of come clean that he had had sex with one of his students and was no longer at the school.
Oh, no. So that became
a pretty quick, like, get out of Dodge situation.
Yeah.
That is not the revelation you want to ever be revealed, but much less on a first date, right?
What a blessing that was, though.
I mean, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. So he couldn't have been surprised when you just hurried to get out of that restaurant, right?
I mean, I guess not.
I mean,
he knew
his cover had been blown.
I was gone.
Yeah, you're gone. Exactly. All right. Well, I think we can do better than pedophiles. So please come to our party in Las Vegas next weekend. All right.
I would love to. Thank you.
Thank you, Raquel. Yeah, that's not a good date, Allie.
Ooh.
I don't blame you for staying home. I really don't.
Thank you. Now you're getting it.
Now I'm getting it.
Students are everywhere.
Line 3, L.A. This is going to be Angela up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Angela, thank you for calling. We're talking about dating app disasters. Which one were you using?
I was using Bumble.
All right. And what was it about this guy that made you think, hey, there's potential here? I'll say yes.
Nice looking guy. Clean. Went to college.
Mm-hmm.
He looked good.
All right. So far, so good. Then what went wrong?
We talked for a while, exchanged information. Then I Googled him like you do, and turns out he gave me a wrong last name. And then I found out he was married. And not just that, he was married this past December.
Oh, no, he's a newlywed on a dating app.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh. How was the date, though? Was he cool?
I never even met him in person.
Good. How about that? That is ballsy.
Those are some balls.
And by the way, at this point, everybody Googles everybody all the time, always, right? How do you think you're going to get away with that?
I don't know how he thought he would.
Yeah, he's not using his head. All right, thank you for the call, Angela. Appreciate that. We'll see you next weekend as well. Let's squeeze in one more. Let's make it Andrea. How about Andrea in Anaheim, line 6, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
What's going on? Thank you so much for holding. What was your story?
So I met a guy in Plenty of Fish, and we talked for a while, and we had similar beliefs. We both were Christian, and everything looked good. So we decided to meet at a Cheesecake Factory. We got there about the same time. We both got sat, and we ordered drinks, and he started, you know, just talking, and he was saying that he had a genius level IQ. So I was kind of playing along, and I was like, okay. And he told me that he had written a paper and published it about human sexuality and that how, like, God had created the perfect way for two people to have sex. With, like, you know, anal sex. So I was like, what? And so he was telling us, like, you know, he didn't love animals enough, so he gave them all these other ways, and that got people pregnant, but he gave humans, because he loved us so much, anal sex. And so I thought he was kidding at first, and I was like, okay, sure. And then he realized that I wasn't buying it, and so he started getting mad at me, and at the table started yelling at me about how, like, God would never love me, and how I'm not that hot anyways. And
freaking
out in the middle of a Cheesecake Factory. And so I excused myself, and I basically ran to the bathroom, and I was, like, hiding in the bathroom. And then, like, people who had, like, seen it or overheard, like, came into the bathroom to try to console me. And so I eventually came out of the bathroom, and the Cheesecake managers were around the table. The police were there, and they were escorting him out of the restaurant because he was lost his mind at the table.
yelling at me about how God would never love me because I would not have anal sex with him.
Well, it's in the Bible. God loves butt stuff.
It is in the Bible. That's true.
God loves butt stuff.
It's in there somewhere, but you know, I haven't got that much.
That is insane.
That is a fantastic story. And I know it was a bad night for you, Andrea, and I'm glad you survived it. But what about the other people just at the Cheesecake Factory with their family? And this crazy man is standing up about talking about God and anal sex.
I'm trying to have lettuce cups with my brother.
The best part about it, though, was like we were right across from another table that had like kids at the table.
Oh,
so that was awesome. No, actually, okay. And then when I came out of the bathroom and I was like surveying the like carnage of the situation, our waiter came out with our drinks. Like the whole thing.
I love it.
The waiter could even drop our drinks.
It's not a good first date until the police show up and escort somebody out of the Cheesecake Factory. All right, Andrea, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. Hang on. We'll see you next weekend in Las Vegas. Don't forget, you can go to KROQ.com to register to win some tickets as well. We'll have more starting Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Kevin and Bean, Marching Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party. We'll be right back. LAA and OC.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm with you. I agree 100%.
I think there's something in my Shamrock Shake. I think I'm a little drunk this morning. What's going on? Hey, St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. James Gunn is in the next room, you guys. He's going to be joining us right after the top of the hour. That should be fun, right?
He's the best.
He is the best.
He really is. And, by the way, huge Bachelor and Bachelorette fan.
Oh,
no
massive.
Kidding.
Yeah, he was on the Bachelor live show, the live show afterwards, to break down the game film with
really?
Chris Harrison. Yeah, he's been on a couple times. So
he agrees with all of us that it's not gonna last with Nick and Vanessa, though, right?
We did not broach the subject in the other room. You'll have to get into Nick and Vanessa when you talk to him.
He is the writer and director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, as well as the writer and producer of the Belko Experiment, which is in theaters. We were just talking about it a few minutes ago in the Movie Beat, and we have so much to talk to him about when he joins us right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
You know, Bean, he also directed Slither.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I saw
Elizabeth Banks.
I don't think we have time to get into that.
Elizabeth Banks was in Slither, and I remember when we had her on, and I guess Bean just saw the title on her IMDb page, didn't really know much about it, and he asked this fascinating question, if I remember correctly.
I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
What did you do back then? In the Slither times.
I saw the title Slither and assumed maybe she chased snakes.
First of all, he assumed snakes.
Right?
Not in a snake movie.
No.
And I did see the movie, too, by the way.
You didn't.
And completely blanked on every possible thing about it.
You are adorable.
I am adorable. So, all right, so we got that out of the way. Now we can move on.
We'll bring that up when James
I think that's
hilarious. NBC, very happy with its ratings for Saturday Night Live, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. I heard they were failing.
Failing show,
the
worst.
That's what I heard.
Baldwin's impression, so sad, the worst. Mm-hmm. Most watched season in 24 years.
Wow.
I tell you, in times of trouble, satire thrives. And so they're doing so well with the show. And NBC's other parts of its lineup, I think, are iffy sometimes.
Right.
They have announced they're doing the last four shows of this season live in all four time zones.
How about that?
So you will not have to wait until 11:30 here in Los Angeles to what? You'll be watching it at 8:30 live along with the rest of the country.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which I think is such a good idea because don't they mostly burn off those primetime hours on Saturday anyway? They got nothing that people care about, right?
You know, I really don't know what NBC's lineup is on Saturday night. I just don't.
Like Dateline or something.
Is it Dateline NBC? Is that when they do that?
Oh, so we've just ruined Ali Saturday
night. Friday is mostly when you watch Dateline.
Is that Murder Night
sometimes? Repeat for Lonely Ladies.
So the last four shows will be, as I mentioned, shown live across all four time zones.
Wow.
And these are your hosts. You get Jimmy Fallon on April 15th.
Oh, so we skip that one, right?
Hard
that
pass.
One.
Chris Pine, May 6th.
Okay.
May 13th, Melissa McCarthy, right?
Yes.
May 20th, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Nice. Come on.
So, pretty good.
Yeah.
This weekend show will not be shown live. This will be the last one, I guess, they show delayed. But Casey Affleck will be the host, along with Chance the Rapper.
Oh, that's a repeat.
Is that a repeat?
Repeat.
Oh, there you go. So they will not show that live because it's a repeat. Repeats don't get live.
That's cool, though. Actually, that's awesome that they're doing
that. I think it's cool. And I think in this day and age, live television has a certain cachet. I mean, they've done it with those musicals and stuff. And I think people on the West Coast have always felt a little cheated that we get sort of a delayed taped version of Saturday Night Live. So it'll be good.
Especially when something unexpected happens, like somebody says the F word or something, and you don't get to see it because they've cleaned it up by the time it re-airs in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah. Matthew Perry from Friends beat up Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
What a dick.
It was back in the fifth grade, though.
Still.
Apparently, they were in school together, and he beat up Justin Trudeau. With the help of a buddy, he says,
on Jimmy Kimmel
this week.
Well, that's just bullying.
That is. Matthew admits it was terrible and he was a stupid kid. And he never really wanted to do it, but he got goaded into it, apparently, in some nasty childhood scrape-up. So,
but who won in the long term?
That's what Matthew says. He says he was instrumental in his rise to international fame because whatever he did must have helped him become a better person.
Sure.
So he's taking some credit for it.
Would you rather have had the career that Justin Trudeau has had, or that Matthew Perry has had?
Friends money?
Yeah, I'll
yeah, I'm taking that.
All day long.
Sounds
all
like
day.
Your team Matthew Perry.
Third day. I'm team Matthew, yeah. And there's a lot of television news because, as you know, it's that season where they're doing pilots and they're bringing up new shows. This one sounds awesome. Remember Rachel Griffiths from 6 Feet Under?
Sure, sure.
So Muriel's Wedding?
So good.
She's going to be starring in a new NBC medical drama, where she will play an emergency room nurse in Brooklyn who's a divorced single mom of a 13-year-old. This is Nurse Jackie. Wait a minute!
Hold on.
And her mother suffers from dementia. Oh, this sounds like a real upbeat film. A series. But I'll watch because Rachel Griffiths is in it and I love
her. She's great.
And in film news, Henry Cavill has joined the cast of Mission Impossible 6. He'll be joining Tom Cruise and Rebecca Ferguson and Jeremy Renner, who will all be back for the sequel as well. I can't help but wonder if maybe this is going to be a passing of the baton.
Oh, really?
Seems like Cavill's leading man material. Maybe maybe Tom is getting tired of impossible missions. Impossible missions.
Yes,
yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kurt Russell's 66 years old today. Gary Sinise turns 62. Lieutenant Dan. Rob Lowe is 53. Billy Corgan turns 50 years old. Rob Kardashian is 30. What's he going to do with his life at 30? He's that at 30. Sock
I mean, just
sock
continue
king.
To be the sock mogul, right?
Sock king, I guess. Hozier's 27. John Boyega, who we all fell in love with in Force Awakens, 25 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, y'all. It's 7:07. We got a man in the studio who has a fascinating resume. Of course, you probably know him best for being the writer and director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and he is the writer and the producer of this weekend's The Belko Experiment. James Gunn in studio with us now.
Oh! How are you, sir? Oh, it's good to be here. I think I've been on this radio show probably 5 times or something over the past 10 years, starting with Dawn of the Dead. But
you
I,
have.
I don't think I've ever been in studio, so this is great.
Oh, is it everything you expected?
It is. This is like a dream world. I don't think the listeners at home quite know. It's like kind of like floating on a cloud here in heaven.
Yeah. It's a dump, James. Yeah. Let's
Did
be
you
honest.
Like the crepe, the crepes that we have
the
out
crepes,
in the hall?
Yeah. And the cherubs.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
So, James, when I say you have a fascinating recipe, resume. I'm not even lying when I say who has Dawn of the Dead and Scooby-Doo on their resume but you? Who has something called Lollipop Chainsaw? Who has something called Humanzee on his resume?
My proudest moment. Yes.
Dolphin Man battles the sex lobster.
Now, that's not me. That's something that somebody puts my name on because I created a character.
Is that true?
Yes, that's absolutely true. I never did any Dolphin Man, but I don't even know what that is.
Isn't that weird that they can get away with putting that on your IMDb, though? That's very weird.
I worked at a low-budget company called Troma, where I got my start, and this is 22 years ago now. And I guess I sort of created some characters, and by created some characters, I meant like, you know, said a few sentences while sitting in an office.
Right.
And so now Troma We'll put my name on things.
Because now you're marketable.
Oh, my.
So, but I love them. It's okay. It's all good. I won't forget my roots. They gave me my first job.
How old were you when you started creating things?
I guess I was like, when I started creating things? Mm-hmm. I mean, I started making my first movies when I was about 11 years old. I started playing around with an 8mm camera. I had seen Night of the Living Dead on TV and somehow got through my head, well, I could do that. And I got really into how to make, you know, exploding blood and gore, mm-hmm. and would kill my brother Sean, who I'm still making movies with today, mm-hmm. and have zombies eat him.
And at what point did you start to seriously think about, I can't just do this as a hobby. I have to figure out a way to do this to make a living. This has to be my life's work.
Well, I think I always was sort of interested in making my living as a storyteller or as a creative person of some sort. I started out when I was 20 years old. I traveled around playing in bands and bars. And so I was always doing something to try to make a little money from, artistic endeavors of some type. But I don't really think I think I got sucked into the film industry, frankly. I was a novelist when I got hired by Troma. And I was trying to be a novelist. I had just written a novel, and I was doing some like weird performance or art pieces on the Lower East Side, and I got hired to write a movie. And although I had a lot of experience making films and doing things like that, it wasn't really what was on my mind. I think it pulled me into itself more than I was drawn to it.
It's an accidental career, James.
I find a lot of people in this industry have accidental careers. Yeah. You know, Chris Pratt didn't set out to be an actor. He was somebody who, you know, went and was a waiter and waited on Ray Don Chong, who's like, you should be an actor. And he's like, oh, really? Okay, I guess I'll come and be an actor.
And there are people out there who have dedicated their whole lives to try to get a break and can't. So they hear a story like that and they're like, what? How long have you walked around with the idea for the Belko experiment in you?
Well, in 2007, I had a dream. And that dream was essentially a bunch of people in an office building in a foreign place that wasn't the United States. And they go to work in the morning and a voice comes over the loudspeaker that says, you know, in 20 minutes, I want you to kill any three people in the office building or else we're going to kill six of you. And then all these walls went up around the office building. And that's almost exactly the trailer that's out in theaters now. I woke up and I was sort of in this fugue state. I went crazy trying to write the screenplay because I wanted to see what happened. I was excited about it. And I did. And then I just kind of sat on the script for almost 10 years and it got made not too long ago.
And is that because you've just been so busy or were you thinking, wow, this is really dark. People are going to lose their minds watching
this. Yeah, part of it was just how dark it was. Mm-hmm. It was really dark. And also I was going to direct it at one point around that time. And I was going through a divorce and I didn't feel like going down to South America and being away from my friends and family and showing people who loved each other shooting each other in the head.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like a great spiritual place to be at that time. So I didn't do it. And then luckily, you know, about 2 years ago, John Glickman over at Orion and MGM called me up and he said, hey, I still have that screenplay, the Belko experiment. I really want to make it. If I give you a few million dollars and I let you do whatever you want and sort of choose a director you want, will you go off and produce it? And I was like, yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah. Well, and quite the cast.
Oh, amazing.
How lucky are you?
Well, so many of those people are my friends. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, of course, Michael Rooker is one of my best friends. He's been in all my movies. And Sean Gunn is my brother. So,
right.
Glad he's still taking your calls.
Yeah. John Gallagher Jr. is a guy who auditioned for Peter Quill in Guardians of the Galaxy. And although he wasn't right for that role, it's probably the best audition I'd ever seen in my life. So I was always looking for an opportunity to work with him. And then Tony Goldwyn is a guy who I've become really close with over the
years. You're friends with the President of the United States?
Yeah.
I'm not looking at him the same. Have ruined Tony Goldwyn for
Yeah, you've
me,
ruined
so
Scandal
so
for
much.
Us. Thanks, James.
Thanks.
He's really good in the movie.
He's amazing.
He's so good.
He's amazing.
You know, people think the movie's so intense and so gory, and it is pretty gory. But some of the most intense scenes are simply played on Tony's face.
Yes.
And you just see what he's going through and trying to make these horrible choices about.
Well, that's the key. That's the key to the movie, because it's hard to watch this movie and not imagine yourself in that situation and not think about humans and what they are capable of and what they are willing to do. And you really do cover you run the gamut with the people who are put in that situation of kill or be killed, because there are some people who just want to stand up and go, well, this is ridiculous. We're just not going to do it. And other people are just – they're like, we have to do it. And that's where the tension comes in, is who's going to win that battle?
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrifying, and I don't ever want to go into a building again.
Just any building. Not any building.
We're going to do for buildings what Jaws did for sharks.
Yes.
That's great.
I'm not going to any buildings.
Out in the streets just hanging out.
So you've seen this with audiences.
Yeah, it's a blast with audiences.
And that's what I'm wondering is because
it is crazy.
Although
I got to say, a good friend of mine who's a journalist, actually, Melissa Howland, I hope she doesn't care, she had a panic attack during the movie the other day because there was this one particular scene, which is very, very intense, with Tony Goldwin and
Kim. Oh, just one scene that's intense?
One particularly intense scene.
Oh, was it the...
And she... No, it was like when he's choosing about who to kill and who to die. And and Melissa Howland, she had a panic attack and had to leave the theater. And she still loves the movie. She went back and finished it. But it was just intense, and I've had a lot of that,
Yeah.
So, but to me, a panic attack with this film is kind of like a standing ovation.
Yeah.
So
you should lead with that, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty claustrophobic, and we got to take a quick break. I have many more questions for you. Our guest is James Gunn. We're talking about the Belko experiment. It's in theaters everywhere today. A quick break. We'll be back more with James right after this on K-Rock. St. Patrick's Day. Why not a little Cranberries here on the world-famous K-Rock? It's 106.7 KROQ 723. Writer, producer of the Belko experiment, James Gunn, in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Before we get back to Belko, James, I want to follow up on a conversation you started off-air in the other room with Ralph.
Oh.
Vanessa is way too good for Nick, right? And that will never last.
No. Listen to me. This is important, and I need you to back off for a second. Nick Vile is the greatest guy who's ever lived. He's a wonderful human being.
Why would you say that he's a zero?
Slow down. He's the first real guy that's ever been on that show. He says what he believes. He says what he thinks. He feels his feelings like a man.
What does he have on you,
James? He cries like a baby, like a man. And he's great. Now, I love Nick. I think he's fantastic. Vanessa is my friend's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
I saw the first episode, and I was like, wait a second.
She seems familiar.
I know that. Who's that girl? And then I realized she is my really close friend's very serious ex-girlfriend. So
what dirt do you have on Vanessa, then?
No, he actually thinks she's a great person. He says she's very sweet. So that's nice to hear.
But let's just assume.
But she wouldn't move from Montreal. So
that's my question. Are they going to make it
she
work?
She would not move from Montreal to be with. That's what broke them up. So I think that. Oh my God!
Look at this inside info.
So what's Nick going to do? Because Nick doesn't want to live in Canada.
Nick doesn't want to live in Canada.
And she doesn't want to live in America. So it's doomed from the start.
Well, I got to admit that after the rose ceremony finale was not. Who knows? I believe in Nick and Vanessa. I can't say otherwise. One of my other best friends produces the show, so I'm not going to say bad things about Nick and Vanessa. But
it didn't look like love. That's all I'm saying.
It looked like
It looked like a hostage situation on the couch there at the end.
If anybody was the hostage there, it was Nick.
I'm just saying neither one of them looked like they wanted to be there with the other. That's all I'm saying. All right, James.
It looks
strange. James is not going to let you slander Nick.
But it looks like a real relationship. I mean, what happens if if you're kept apart from the person that you love and then you got to watch them make out with somebody else on TV over and over again?
Can't be fun.
Yeah, it's strained. I think you got to give him a little break and see where things go from here.
Back off, Bean.
James has a lot of Nick feelings, doesn't he?
He really does.
I'll stick up for Nick.
All right, let's get back to Belko for a second. Now, you talked about the little movies that you were making when you were 11 years old and how you learned how to make things blow up. I want to know, how difficult is it to make someone's head explode as you do over and over and over again in the Belko experiment?
Well, it's easy to do it, but it's a little harder to do it and not actually incredibly hurt the person. So you use squibs and you have to be very careful. Most of our effects in the Belko experiment are practical. Sometimes they're enhanced with visual effects. But it's just old, good old-fashioned squibs.
Did you make a wax heads? Is there a wax head of Tony Goldwyn out there somewhere?
No. There's a wax head of that. If you, when he digs around, when Tony digs around in that one guy's head for the bomb.
Yeah.
It was not a wax head.
That's not a real head.
Prosthetic head. It's not a real head.
Oh, yeah. It's not a real head all dented in and brains were gone?
And brains sprouted. Okay. No. Okay. Life is not that cheap. We didn't go down to Columbia for those reasons.
Because you can kill so many people and get away with it down there.
And really kind of offensive thought that I can't believe the Kevin and Bean show thinks that we should kill people from other countries for our special effects.
I'm just saying it just makes the movie more realistic. All right, so the thing about the chips in the necks.
Yeah.
I thought that was crazy sci-fi fantasy, but you're telling me that there's something kind of in real life happening like that down
there. Yeah, there have been people who have been implanted with chips too, so that they can track them down in case they're kidnapped or lost, you know? Listen, I'm not a paranoid guy. If I had a kid, I would implant that kid with a chip.
For sure.
So I could track him down in the
woods.
Let him out at night to go do whatever he wants, and I could track him down if I really needed to.
Yeah.
No different than low jack on the car, right?
Well, I'm trying. You know, I have a thing that my cat wears around her neck. It's like a big, and it must be about a pound. It looks like a St. Bernard carrying that, you know,
the keg.
Alcohol. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's what I use to track her down, because if she ever gets out, she's insane. So, but I don't understand why I can find somebody on their phone and has all that other stuff on the phone too, and it can't be a really small thing, but it's pretty big.
Do you think we actually are all chipped, like they do it in the hospital?
Maybe.
Wants to know where we are, man.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe the Belko experiment's a documentary.
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I didn't believe that until the end. And I'm telling you people, stick around. It gets really, oh my God, at the end.
The movie is in theaters everywhere. It's called the Belko experiment. Before we let you go, James, we have to ask, because we're only a few weeks away from the return of Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, is this true that you were at a crucial point in your career in terms of determining what you thought maybe you didn't even want to direct movies anymore when Guardians came around? Is that true?
Completely true. I made a couple movies that people loved that made very little money. I was making money at the time by doing video games. I did Lollipop Chainsaw and I felt like, you know, the cinema has changed a lot, and cinema today is basically about these tentpole movies, these big huge movies. That's what people go to the theater to see. And you know, the middle of the road sort of action, you know, edgy films that I made are gone for the most part. There aren't too many of them.
True.
And I'm like, I really want to be a part of the cultural conversation. I want to be relevant with the art that I create. I don't want to do this in a vacuum. And so I said, you know, where the exciting stuff is really happening today is TV. So I'm going to quit movies, and I am just going to focus on TV and video games. And I called up my manager and agent. I had a real serious discussion with them. I said, "I'm, you know, the kind of movies that are relevant are Marvel movies and big spectacle films, and no one's going to let me do that. So I'm quitting, and I'm going to go to this other stuff." And they said, okay, they were very supportive of me, as they've always been. And about 2 weeks later, I got a call from Marvel that they wanted to see me about Guardians, and they would meet with me on every single movie. So it wasn't like it was that big of a deal. And I was like, I'm just somebody to cross off a list. So I'm like, okay. And I went down. I was complaining about it, driving down to Manhattan Beach. It's so far away from my house. And And I go down, and then they pitch me on Guardians of the Galaxy. And at first, I was like, I don't know. It sounds kind of stupid. It's, you know, I mean, I knew the Guardians from the comic books, and they worked in comic book form, but on screen, I thought it was going to be like a raccoon, and it's going to be like Bugs Bunny in the middle of the Avengers. It sounds stupid. So I was like, okay, I smiled and nodded, and I drove home. And as I was in my car on my way home, all of a sudden, it just hit me. I'm like, holy cow, this is my chance to create something completely different than what's been out there before. And I saw, you know, I remembered how much I loved Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark as a young kid, and that I could make a movie that wasn't like those movies, but made people today feel like those movies made me feel. And that most of the movies are like these not to name names, but these big spectacle films, they stink. They're terrible, and there's no heart to them. People don't care. They don't love the characters. It's just a series of explosions and giant monsters and robots without anything else inside of them. And so that's really was the beginning of my journey, and here I am today, you know, 5 years later, having done almost nothing else with my life since.
When they called and said, you've got it, are you in? Were you like, oh, thank God I nodded good?
When they called me and told me I was in, I felt like all I could think of is, you know, watching the very first season of American Idol with Kelly Clarkson crying as those, you know, bubbles and confetti, the balloons are falling around her. And I'm in my girlfriend's crappy apartment in, you know, Koreatown, you know. She's standing there in her underwear, and it's all dirty, and, you know, the dog smell is everywhere. But inside my brain, I'm like, oh!
A moment like
I know
this.
What she felt like. Yes!
With the, God, I hate the werewolf at a time. With the ridiculous success of the first film, how much did it end up making, James?
It made, I think, something like, oh, I don't know, something like $786 million to box
office. Okay, so you make $800 million with the first movie. How excited were you to come back and do another one, or is the pressure crushing to follow up the first?
It's the opposite. I mean, that's the question I'm asked the most often, but I was, you know, because the first movie, I felt like we were making something very different. We had all these colors. We had all this comedy in a big movie. We had that music, and it was just seemed like a risky proposition. So although most of the time I really believed in what I was doing and was so enthusiastic and excited, I would occasionally wake up at 3 a.m. in a cold sweat, afraid I was making Pluto Nash 2. So it's like, on this movie, it was like I knew people wanted to see these characters. I'm a born entertainer. That's in my bones. So playing to an audience is what I love. And being able to know that people are out there waiting for this movie made it so much more exciting for me.
And all the stuff that was dangerous about the first one, you already know there's a built-in audience that loves that and can't wait to see it again.
And they can take more. And that's the thing is I know that they love the parts of the movie that were the most unique. And so I can change things up even more. And I think Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 the best movie I've ever made, and I'm really excited about, you know, sharing it with people because it is completely unique, and it's an opportunity, I think, for a movie that's a big spectacle film that's also a personal movie, which it really is.
I just want one half of 1% of the merchandising on Baby Groot. That's all I
know.
I care
Baby
about.
Baby Groot, so
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
All right, well, we'll have to wait till May 5th for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We can't wait for that. In the meantime, James Gunn has got you covered for this weekend, too, with a film he wrote and produced called The Belko Experiment. As Ali mentioned, it's got a great cast with Adria Arjona, who's amazing in the movie, Tony Goldwyn and John Gallagher Jr. and John C. McGinley and your brother Sean and Michael Rooker and so much more.
It is a butthole pucker.
It is a butthole pucker.
It is.
That's for sure.
Thanks.
Yeah. Go see that this weekend. James, you're welcome back anytime on the Kevin Amin Show. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Boy, how delightful was James Gunn?
I wish he could stay forever.
You want to see a guy like that succeed. He has so much love and passion for the work that he does.
And he looks so much like his brother Sean. It was like I was talking to Kirk from Gilmore Girls in that
Well, I think they're related. I think they're two of them are related.
Right, but his face is like literally his face, but spikier hair.
All right, enough from you. Hey, you're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It is St. Patrick's Day, and that means you hear a lot of this.
Hey, two Irish guys walk out of a bar. And then, hey, don't laugh. Could happen.
And I will say, as much as this is a day that here in America and around the world, really, we celebrate the Irish, increasingly St. Patrick's Day has created a little bit of controversy because more and more you are hearing from Irish people say you are misrepresenting. That's not how we are. Mm-hmm. And we don't like the way you're making fun of us on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm always worried about offending people culturally. That's me. That's what I'm about.
Right.
So I asked Dave, I don't want to misstep this year.
Okay.
Is there somebody you can line up who can tell us what's true and what's not true about the Irish, what's mm-hmm. appropriate and what's not appropriate for St. Patrick's Day? And we're very pleased to welcome Mr. Patrick McGee. He is from the Office of the Ministry of Culture in Ireland, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. McGee, how are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. Good morning to you.
Is it okay, I'll just start with the basics, to say St. Patrick's Day is here today, and I wish you a happy one, sir.
Of course it's okay to say that.
Okay.
Why wouldn't it be okay to say Happy St. Patrick's Day?
Well, because, I mean, I woke up this morning and I saw that there was controversy about Mike Pence saying top of the morning. And I thought, well, top of the morning is
that's a stereotype. It's an American stereotype. And it's not really something we see over here.
Mm.
Okay.
What if we shortened it to St. Paddy's Day? Is that...
We don't care for that.
Okay, I thought.
And it's Paddy's, by the way, with D's, not
right.
T's.
Yeah, we usually say T, St. Paddy's Day.
No, it's Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
See, and, so we... and there's lots of misnomers. You know, there's mm-hmm. lots of ideas you have in America there about the Irish
uh-huh.
that are incorrect. And so that's one of the reasons... This year, Ireland is taking time to talk to people, especially on St. Patrick's Day, to get some of the stereotypes and the mistakes of things people think about the Irish culture out of, to get the truth out there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is very helpful for me because I don't want to offend anybody. So you tell us what
that.
We need to know.
Well, the top of the morning was one for sure that we get tired of.
Okay.
Also, I'm sorry, just a little parched.
Okay.
You having a beer?
Yeah, okay. I'm doing a tour of America, so I can't get the proper Guinness. So I'm drinking out of the cans.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That must be painful for you to not have Guinness on St. Patrick's Day.
It's worse not to have Guinness, trust me.
That is true.
But that's isn't our stereotype, is that we drink all the time. The Irish are always drinking.
Uh-huh.
And it's really just, it's hurtful, really, to have people think that you're drinking all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not the case.
No.
The whole thing about the blue diamonds and green clovers and the Lucky Charms cereal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, what about Lucky Charms? Now, there's nothing really Irish about that, is there?
No, it's just that they have put a leprechaun on their box. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Okay.
It doesn't come from Ireland. We don't even eat it in Ireland.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And people
okay.
always say, oh, I'm a Lucky Charms. That whole thing that you do with your voice, we don't care for it.
Okay.
All right. Don't make that voice sound. Don't talk about it. Are you having another beer already, Mr. McGee?
Yeah, I am having another beer. What business is it of yours?
Well, I just feel like you've just been talking to us for like 30 seconds since you opened the last one. When did you even have time to drink
you.
It?
I will fight you.
Wait, hold on a sec. I thought that was a stereotype, is that the Irish are always looking to throw down.
It is a stereotype, and as for bringing it up, I will fight. I'll punch you right in the nose.
Okay, I'm not trying to start a fight. I just...
It sounds like you are to me. Why don't you step outside, boy, or you and I will go right now.
You just seem overly aggressive and drunk at this hour of the morning. I just am surprised by that. He's having another one, Allie.
Yeah, he's having another one, Allie. That's right. I'm a grown man. I can have as many beers as I want.
Right, but three beers in like 2 minutes. I feel like... Slow down.
You can't do it, okay? Sorry that you can't keep up with me.
I thought you were supposed to be...
I can drink you under the table, then I will F you with the table.
Okay.
Wow.
This just got really aggressive.
The table right where the sun don't shine.
I thought we were dispelling stereotypes here today.
I will... Hold on a second. I will kill you. That's what I'll do. And why don't you take my shillelagh out of my pants while we're at it, and then get to work.
I don't like the sound of what a shillelagh must be.
If St. Patrick was here right now, he'd kill you because you're a snake, okay? You're a little weaselly snake going across the floor. Oh, look at me. Oh, look at me. I'm such a weasel. I can't drink and then nothing like that.
All right, Mr. McGee. This is unfortunate. I told you he was drinking it too fast.
Yeah.
Pace yourself.
That's a lot.
I got more room now.
Okay.
Kevin Abeen's April Foolishness is fast approaching at the Shrine Auditorium on April Fool's Day. Tickets are on sale now through Access.com. In 5 minutes, we'll tell you how you can win your own this morning from the Kevin Abeen Show. What are you laughing at?
Give it to me.
Kiss.
Allie took my Sharpie.
Don't make me separate you
Allie
two.
Allie took my red Sharpie.
Your face just said, what's my favorite? That's so good.
First, Ralph is here with his showbiz beat. Now that he has his Sharpie, he can move on.
I lose an arm that way.
What's going on?
Taking a man's Sharpie. Not right.
Worth it.
Asshole. Right? Excuse me. Thank you, Alex Jones. You know how I feel. Hey, I got a breaking news bulletin. Anybody breaking news? Anybody want some breaking news? Breaking news bulletin? Anybody? Anybody want
what
some breaking?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
News bulletin. Monopoly has announced their new tokens.
Oh, wow.
Yay!
The thimble.
They got rid of the wheelbarrow. What?
The thimble.
The thimble's gone?
Thimble's gone.
Okay.
This is big news. Hasn't the thimble been a part of the game for 100 years?
Perhaps the most identified piece.
Sure.
Of all the Monopoly tokens.
Wow.
The thimble is gone.
Okay.
Wow. This is an earthquake.
The good news is there are some new ones that will take its place.
Don't say hashtag. I swear to God, if you tell me they've added a hashtag game piece.
Give me taco.
Wheelbarrow. Was there ever a wheelbarrow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a wheelbarrow. Sure.
Not anymore.
they yanked the wheelbarrow also?
Yeah. Here are your tokens.
What about the Scotty dog?
Here are your tokens. Your new tokens. Please enjoy these tokens.
Okay.
Taco.
Scotty dog.
Okay.
Scotty dog remains.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
Race car.
Of course.
Love the race car. Everybody race loves car. The race car,
no,
right?
Race car's ass.
Race car
really?
Is the best
race car
token.
Is the ass of the tokens.
If you can't be the race car, why play Monopoly?
The best token of all.
The iron.
Top hat.
Oh, okay.
Top hat.
That's what
is
I meant.
Best.
Hat. Yep.
Top hat is still there.
In what alternate universe do you live, sir?
Top hat.
How is a top hat better than a race car?
Because a lot of people drive race cars.
Uh-huh.
How many people wear top hats?
Mr. Peanut.
None, because they're
penguin.
Yep. If they do.
The penguin?
Mr. Peanut.
Mr. Peanut?
I think we've got it covered.
Uncle Warbucks or whatever the guy
Daddy
is.
Warbucks?
From, no, the guy from Monopoly. Uncle
Mr.
Moneybags.
Moneybags.
Oh.
Top hat?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Top hat rules. Battleship remains.
Right. I'll allow that.
Here's your newbies. Here are your new ones. Penguin. Penguin, everybody. Penguin.
Oh, I see that. I don't mind that.
Rubber ducky. Rubber ducky.
Come on.
Rubber ducky.
No.
Rubber
now,
ducky.
Were voted on by fans online,
this
right?
This 4.3 million votes.
Oh, my God.
We got a lot of problems.
Right?
As a country.
Maybe some of those people should have turned up for the presidential election.
Cat?
Ugh.
Cat.
Why?
Right? First
Come
of all,
on.
It's not going to get along with the Scotty dog
at
all.
Yeah, that sounds
and
like trouble.
And also cat.
Ugh.
Doesn't
cat
it seem,
people.
It seems interesting that we took away inanimate objects and we're replacing them with basically animals.
Hmm. That is interesting.
No, I just, there's just a trend in all the ones that you're mentioning.
But what about the iron? The iron's gone?
Iron's gone. T-Rex. Last one is T-Rex.
All right.
T-Rex has been added.
So four out, four in.
Those are your eight. Those are your eight tokens. Your new eight tokens in the Monopoly game.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
I already broke the news.
Just covered it.
Don't need to really break again.
How dare you?
I just telling news, man. Just sharing the love.
Asshole.
Come on. On St. Patrick's Day, Alex. Do we need another Charlie Manson movie?
We just had a two-season television show about Charles Manson.
Yeah, ABC's got a two-hour documentary that airs tonight on its network. Charles Manson, His Devoted Cult, and the Grisly Murders of 1969. So they're going to go back and revisit.
Is there any new info?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think we do need that.
Uh-uh.
Look, I understand he's sort of an iconic figure of evil, and is a touchstone for a lot of people when you want to talk about an evil sort of genius psychopath, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess obviously people are so interested. I guess they wouldn't do the ratings, but that they do with those shows. But I just don't feel like it.
I did learn that if you hope to be paroled one day, perhaps carving a swastika into your forehead will not accomplish that end.
It's a bad luck.
It is a bad luck indeed,
as Jim Rome would say. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. John Boyega, Finn.
Finn is a potato.
That Irish guy probably would hate that I just
He'd
did
hate
that
it.
Leprechaun
yeah.
voice.
Yeah, he 20, had some issues.
25 years old today. Singer Hozier is 27. Billy Corgan is 50 years old today. Rob Lowe, who was in the movie The Specials that was written and directed by James Gunn.
Thank you.
It all comes back to James Gunn.
As
Kurt Russell, who's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Right.
Also written and directed by James Gunn. 66 years old today. How great is Kurt Russell? Does he make every movie he's in better?
He's pretty great. And if you follow Kate Hudson on Snapchat, a lot of videos with him, he is a delight.
Yeah, he seems pretty charming. I would watch Tombstone every day, I think, if I had the time.
Yeah.
Love that film. And Gary Sinise, 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I promise we give away some tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. The time is now. If you want to see Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and the winner of the opening act contest, you can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Tickets are on sale now through AXS.com, by the way, if you don't win them right now, with proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We are just looking for comedy fans. If you're a fan of comedy, we got a game that you're going to want to play. Coming up next on K-Rock, give us a call. We'll do it next. By the way, I'm very excited about talking to private investigators in about 15 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's a job that seems like it would just be fascinating, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So I want to hear those stories coming up. First, though, we want to take care of some business and give away some tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. It's our 9th annual show. Falls on April Fool's Day itself this year at the Shrine Auditorium. We're raising money for Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Tickets are on sale now, by the way, through AXS.com. If you want to buy those to see the great Bill Burr and David Koechner and Jimmy Pardo and Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williams, and Angela Johnson, it's going to be a great night. So tickets are on sale to buy, or you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Laugh-A-Rokey. That sounds like the voice of our friend DJ Omar Khan. How are you, Omar?
Good morning. Good. How are you guys?
I know you have a thriving DJ business when you're not here at K-Rock. You do any St. Patrick's Day parties?
No, this weekend I have off at wedding season. April, May, June
is
crazy, yeah. So if anybody wants to book me, you could contact me at omar@karaoke.com or just go to my website, djomarkhan.com.
All right. So I'm glad you're in here, although I'm very confused because didn't we try the Laugh-A-Rokey game once before and wasn't one of the worst games we've ever played on the Kevin and Bean Show?
By worst, you mean magic.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. It turns around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Bad. Yeah. Then it just comes right back.
Yeah.
We do have callers on the line, Omar. How does Laugh-A-Rokey work? What are you going to be doing?
So it's a famous laugh. It could be from a sitcom, a famous comedian, a cartoon. It's definitely a big, recognizable laugh, and I'm going to be doing my best impersonation, and you just have to guess who it is.
Oh, so we're not actually playing the audio from the show. You're going to be impersonating that
Absolutely,
person.
Yes.
And they have to identify the laugh via you.
That's right.
That's now I remember why this was such a bad idea. Okay. Let's take them in order, Chip. We'll start with Sergio Linwood, line one. He's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sergio, so Omar's going to do a laugh. All you have to do is identify it, and you're in the drawing to win the Foolishness tickets. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Good luck.
Here we go. Yeah.
That sounds like Beavis and Butthead.
It is Beavis and Butthead.
That's how you do it.
So good.
Nailed
it. That was pretty close, though.
Thank you.
I got to tell you. All right. Cassandra's up next. She's in Simi Valley. She's up next. Hey, Cassandra.
Hi.
Are you really a university professor?
I am.
You are way too smart to be listening to this little dog and pony show. Reevaluate your life, Cassandra.
I love you guys.
Well, God bless you. All right, listen up. Here's Laugh-A-Rokey with Omar. Whose famous laugh is that, Cassandra?
Rodney Dangerfield.
I'm sorry. No, that one was George Takei. Star Trek Sulu. I hope you still love us, Cassandra. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Joel. He's up next, line three. Hey, Joel, welcome to Laugh-A-Rokey. You ready to play?
Hey, what's up, party people? Yeah.
Good luck.
No! It's so bad.
All right, Omar.
Can I try it for sure?
Yeah, let Allie try this one. I think we're going to pass the baton, Omar.
No, that was
better. That was better. What do you think, Joel?
You do better.
I thought I could.
Can I
Who
get
is it, Joel?
One? Can I get a different laugh?
No, that's all you get.
I have no idea what that is.
That was Pee Wee Herman.
That did not sound anything like Pee Wee Herman.
How dare you, Joel? How dare you? All right, let's go to Placentia, line four. This is going to be Chad up next. We're playing Laugh-A-Rokey for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Welcome to the show, Chad. You ready to play? Let's do it.
Let's do it. Oh, man.
What do you think, Chad?
No clue.
What?
Would this sound more familiar to you? We're looking for Eddie Murphy.
So good.
Eddie Murphy is the answer there.
Even Omar just went, oh, wow. That's what it's
all right.
About.
So far, Sergio is the only one in the drawing, guys. I'm getting a little bit nervous. Let's try Dennis. He's in Northridge. He's on line 5. Dennis, how have you been doing playing along while you've been waiting?
50-50. So okay. The odds are in my favor.
All right. Fingers crossed. Here's Omar. All right, let's not listen to that anymore. What do you think, Dennis?
Man, I'm just going to say Roseanne.
No, I'm sorry. This time it was Fran Drescher we would have had. I mean, it does kind of sound, sort of, if you kind of, if you give him a lot of benefit of the doubt. All right, let's try a couple more. Temple City's Kevin is up next. Line 6. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good luck. I mean, seriously, I don't know what else I can tell you, but just good luck.
Here we go.
Hey! 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 Say it again.
A Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
What? Does he even talk?
Does he talk?
Wow.
Or Krusty the Clown.
Oh, wow.
Looking for Krusty. All right. Final contestant is Jose.
No, we need to go out on a win.
He is in L.A. Jose, please end our misery. Try to win this Laugh-A-Rookie game. Good luck.
Peter Griffin?
Yes! Peter Griffin! All right. Okay.
Wait, Allie, can we do one more? I need to hear the last one.
What do we always say, Allie?
Do
what
it.
Do we always say?
Do it.
Why take one call
on.
When you can take one call
right.
Too many? All right, Johnny in L.A., let's hear what you got. You ready?
Yep.
What the hell?
Oh, my God. can you do that again?
It won't help. All right, Johnny, if you don't know, take a guess.
Oh, my God.
Okay. No, it was Tom Cruise is what Omar was trying to say. There you go. Tom Cruise. Thanks, Allie. Good job. All right. Jose and Sergio both inexplicably were able to figure out what laugh Omar was doing. Only one will win tickets to the show April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Jose.
Yay!
Jose.
Yeah.
Jose.
Hello, yeah.
You and Bill Burr and Jimmy Pardo and Taylor Williamson and all the rest will see you at the Shrine on April 1st for April Foolishness. Thanks for playing Laugh-A-Rookie.
Laugh-A-Rookie. Omar really blows.
Like what?
Ralph let us in on a little secret this week that when he was a young lad, he wanted to grow up and be a private investigator.
Yeah, that was my goal. That was my
now,
dream.
Was that because there were a lot of PI shows on TV at the time then, Ralph?
Yes. Yeah,
thought, I want to be Rockford.
I would just run around my backyard and sit behind the wheel of my dad's car and pretend to be in car chases. And I realized eventually, oh, wait a minute, dumbass, you don't want to be a private investigator. You want to be an actor. You want to be on television playing a private investigator. But I was confused as a young lad, as many of us are, about what I wanted to be when I grew up. So it just seemed like so much fun, though, to hunt down people and to just find clues and solve cases and stuff and everything. It seems like a very exciting life.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we delve into it, and we're going to take some calls from private investigators here on the Kevin Beach Show, I'm sure we would find out that there are some days that are thrilling and unpredictable. And
yeah,
exciting.
When you're trying to chase down a missing heiress because her cheating husband hired you to track her down. And then it turns out, you know why he wants her? Because she saw the scam that he pulled with the blackmail, and then he's going to kill her once you find her.
Okay, maybe that's not every day, though. What I'm saying is occasionally maybe you come across a juicy, fun case like that, but I bet there's a lot of, I think about these surveillance guys. I think there's a lot of, sitting in a car eating McDonald's,
for $12. A lot of workers' comp. Like, he shouldn't be playing basketball.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Allie, because we had a caller earlier in the week who had called in, unrelated to this topic, he had called in to win April Foolishness tickets, and Dave got to talk to him off the air, and his name is James, and he works for a private investigation firm in Riverside.
James Rockford?
I don't think it's James Rockford, no. James, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Thank you very much. Good morning. I am so happy to be here. And I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I've been listening since Mr. Burcham, Jimmy the Sports Guy, MMM, so it's my pleasure.
Wow, you go back a ways. Thank you for that, sir.
Or did he just do his research on this show because he's a private investigator?
Boom.
Hold on, Ralph.
Yeah.
He's playing a part right now. He's pretending to be a Kevin Beefy.
Nice cover.
So you told us on the air when we talked to you that you have a desk job, but you kind of also have a job that is you're in a position to kind of oversee what all your PIs are doing and what kinds of nonsense they're getting into, right?
Absolutely. We deal in workers' comp fraud investigation. We don't really do the cheating spouse cases. That would be that. I think that's where the real excitement and juicy stuff is. But
yeah, that sounds like fun doing those cases. Why don't you guys do those?
Well, I think the money is in the workers' comp fraud. Allie has actually mentioned people playing basketball. We did a case that was very similar to that. Oh. We had a guy who claimed an injury on Monday, claimed he hurt his shoulder, he was in a container lifting boxes, and it was a legitimate injury. He went to the doctor, got approved to have disability, time off, and everything was fine, everything was legit, until we started poking around, went to social media, and found out that the day before he claimed his injury, he was playing basketball. He posted pictures of himself playing basketball, and in a couple of the pictures, he was. He had a team photo, and he had like a makeshift shirt sling with his arm in it.
So he actually hurt his shoulder during the game, not at the job.
Absolutely, he sucked it up enough to go the next day and claim the injury at work. So he was going to get time off no matter what, but doing it at work, he got the fraudulent disability.
Sure.
Now, why would you poke around? Why was there suspicion about this dude?
That is a great question. This
Thank
guy
you.
Had a history. He kind of had some red flags. He was a history of trying to get off work.
I see.
And plus, there were some people who had commented on the photos asking if, hey, did you dislocate your shoulder during that game? Are you okay?
I
think word got out to the fellow coworkers, and I think that was brought up to the employer.
So he was just a guy like Kevin who doesn't like working that much.
So I would imagine social media has made your investigation a lot easier now because people are voluntarily giving you clues, right?
Oh, my goodness. People love to doom themselves. You know that segment you guys do, People Are Dumb?
Mm-hmm.
That's the case a lot of times with this. They do it themselves.
So is it – here's a question. Maybe you don't have the answer to this, James. We're talking to James, private investigator in Riverside. Do most companies do some sort of at least cursory follow-up on a workers' comp claim, or do most companies go, all right, I take your word for it, and it's very rare that they dig any deeper than that?
If we're hired and we can come up with incriminating evidence, then absolutely we're going to dig deeper and possibly bring up charges for fraudulent. It's a burden on the taxpayers paying disability benefits to someone who's physically capable of working.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like about your job, James?
It's a very satisfying job. I get to listen to you guys, which is great. Also, we're on the side of good, like Ralph was saying, and we get to put people who are physically capable of working back to work. We're all working. So
yeah, all right. Lazy bastards.
That's what he's doing.
Hey, Garrett, do you carry a gun?
No, I am not armed.
Oh, what a pussy. Come on, don't you have a PI license?
I do, but
then
I'm not
you should
armed.
Get a gun.
Maybe
how about a badge, James? Do you have a badge?
Florida.
How about a badge?
I have an ID card.
Yeah, well. PIs don't carry badges, Bean. What's wrong with you?
How about a trench coat? You have a trench coat?
I do have a trench coat.
Okay. All right, now we're talking.
Well, he needs a shoulder holster, and he's in business then.
James, thank you for the call. We really appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you weighing in. We appreciate that so much. Let's go to Yvette. She has been working in the field for 4 years, by the way, and she contacted us as well. Yvette, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Now, our last caller had an office job. It sounds like you are actually out being the one doing the stakeouts and taking the photos.
Yes, I was a field investigator, and I was also based out of Riverside, but I did cases all over Southern California.
Were you ever used as bait, like in a cheating case or something? Did you ever like try to seduce some ambassador from another country who was stealing micro secrets?
No, unfortunately, it wasn't espionage or anything like that. It was more of, you know, a lot of surveillance, a lot of what required a strong bladder. You know,
you worked on a Donald Trump case?
Oh, no.
No.
I think she meant sitting out in the car
everybody.
All night.
She put the P in PI.
Are those cases with surveillance, is that like our last caller, he wasn't involved in the cheating cases, but did you do those?
Yes, we did have some cheating cases. Like he said, the bread and butter of the business is a lot of workers' comp fraud.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we would get, you know, a wife or husband coming in wanting us to check on their spouse. Those, to me, were always really fun cases because, it involved emotions and everything. And there's always that moment of adrenaline when you break the case and you find the proof that you need. And so it was kind of like I was a little bit of an adrenaline junkie because I could go days of surveillance and then all of a sudden you hit the jackpot and it's like you got what you needed. And whether it was for a workers' comp case or for, you know, a spousal case or anything
like
that.
Okay, but in these cheating cases, I mean, are you like on the lawn going up trying to get photos through the window so you can prove that somebody's cheating on somebody?
I never did that. Because I could always stay a distance away. I'm very unassuming. I'm 5 foot tall. I'm just, nobody would ever suspect me. So I was able to usually get close enough and get what I needed, hide my camera in my purse, hide it on, you know, on my arm, with like a, you know, t-shirt or sweater over it.
Mm-hmm.
I could get really creative, but I never went to sneak in windows or anything like that. But
sounds like our PIs, Ralph, are missing out on all the best parts of the job, don't you think?
Did you carry a gun, Yvette?
No, I did not.
Oh, you're the worst. What's wrong with these people?
All right. Last question for you. If somebody gets to the point where they're hiring a private investigator to look into their spouse, that person is almost always cheating, right? I mean, you don't get it. You have so many clues that you're really just praying and hoping that you'll come back and say he's not cheating, but you kind of know he is, right?
And if you're at the point where you're getting a private investigator, the marriage is over. Just
you think
walk.
So, Ellie?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Every person, every spouse or fiance that came in that wanted us to check on their significant other, they were cheating. 100%.
Yeah. So uptight. Yeah. People are so uptight. Right?
All right, Yvette, thank you for listening, and thank you for coming on the air with us. We really enjoyed talking to you. All right,
thank you, guys.
You bet. Let's open it up for some other private investigators at 1-800-520-1068.
Yeah, some better ones.
I sense that you're underwhelmed so far, Ralph.
I want guns.
Uh-huh.
I want high-speed car chases.
I want a theme song.
I want a theme song. I want people who sat in their office and a long-legged blonde walked in and said, oh, I need you to help me find my husband. And turns out it was really her sister, her brother. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Right?
I want to hear from some people who had to go undercover, like you were talking about, like
right.
Going to the bar and pretend to be somebody you're
better
not.
Better have a gun and a fake mustache, or I'm going to start throwing bows.
That's what we're looking for. All right, PIs, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talking to private investigators this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We want to hear from you if you are a PI, and we're looking for excitement. We're looking for stories with drama and heart. And
babes,
fun and danger.
Guns.
Broads and bullies and bosses and bullets.
Allie, you were asking for a theme song. Let me know if this satisfies you.
Private eyes, they're watching you.
Right?
They see your every move. Private eyes.
You don't get it, man.
Private eyes.
All right.
This song is lightweight.
Let's
need a real theme song like bam 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 chicka bam chicka bam chicka bam bam chicka bam 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 bam.
Magnum. Yeah.
Oh, Magnum.
All right, I think you guys are going to be satisfied with Ray in Irvine. He's on line 4. He's up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were looking for car chases, right?
Yeah,
part of what we wanted to is you're chasing after somebody in the course of your duty as a PI. Ray, tell us your story, man.
Hey guys, how are you? Good morning.
Good. Ray. What's up?
Yeah, it was all. It was a fun job, one of the most fun jobs I had, and we did have car chases.
Yes.
A couple of times. They tried to lose us, and
now we may have to keep this short because your phone is breaking up a lot. But the people that you were chasing, why were you after them? What were they doing?
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. There were infidelity cases, basically, and
there were a couple of guys, the two car chases that we had, and I think they realized that they were being followed. And they were
losing your phone, Ray.
Shame about Ray.
It is a shame about Ray. Thank you, Allie. Let's go to Josh. He's in Anaheim. He's up next on line 8. Now, I think Josh may be our undercover PI.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Let's do this, Josh.
Yeah, how we going, guys?
Josh, tell us your tales.
Well, I've kind of moved on to a little bit of bigger and better things now, but I've been there and done that. I've done undercover work for karate classes, and like one of your previous callers, a lot of it comes down to social media or advertising.
Okay, hold on. Undercover in a karate class. Why were you undercover in a karate class?
Some guys, it was his night job. He was trying to get some side work done as an instructor for karate. But he had gotten hurt at his day job.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah.
So you just have to pretend to be another student so you can have eyes on him.
That's exactly right. I had a camera in my gym bag or whatever. It was over.
Now we're talking.
Wall,
and,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Where else did you go undercover? Any more?
I've done gay clubs in West Hollywood.
Gay clubs!
Go on, Josh.
Yeah.
What happened?
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, they suspected there was some sex acts that were happening in the club.
Hold on! Sex acts in a gay club?
I know, right?
Shocking!
Right? Yeah. Well,
now, I'm a little bit surprised that they hire a private investigator for that, because that sounds like a police matter.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I do ends up going criminal. There's a lot of the lion's share of the work is right. workers' comp, like some of the previous calls have said. The infidelity stuff does happen, but it's, far and few in between.
Sometimes you got to call your buddy on the force and drop a dime on some people, right?
See?
All
right.
That's
what I would do.
I'm not going to lie.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Let's try Kane in L.A. He's on line 3. One of the jobs that he has done is look for bail jumpers. Now, that sounds like it might be fun to try.
He's a skip tracer.
Track down the criminal element that's trying to avoid going to court.
That's what
What's
say
going
the business.
On, Kane?
We call the business
the
skip tracer.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's a skip
tracer. Kane knows that because you guys are both PIs,
that's
right?
That's right.
Kane, tell us about your job, man. How was it?
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Allie.
Hey.
Sweet, soft Irish devil.
Ooh,
all right.
Look at
so,
this. I'm totally turned on.
So here's the deal. Now, I'm basically, I chase gentlemen, both the gentlemen, a couple of ladies who skip bail, mostly white-collar stuff.
Right.
So, financial stuff and so forth. My most recent one was a big payday. Gentleman out in Maryland did a startup, about valued at $10 million. He essentially shorted his own company and then, of course, then tanked it to get the money. And then he stupidly collected the insurance money on the insurance
big
he purchased.
Mistake.
So he was a dummy.
Big mistake.
And what did you have to go through to find him? I mean, do you fly to his city and just start knocking on doors and asking people? What do you do?
No, I find him on the internet. That's what I do. I work with a team of three. I'm the tech geek, so to speak. And I track him all the way to Goodyear, Arizona, where his sister lived. He got a Starbucks there every morning. About 8:15 a.m. and I took him down right at the Starbucks.
How about that? Come on, took him down at the Starbucks. That's exciting.
And I said, "You, sir, are coming home with me, sir, because you have made a desperate mistake, sir."
So, what did you do? Did you make a citizen's arrest? Like, you don't have the authority to take somebody down, do you?
No. I came with him. Basically, the people that hired me, normally it's a bail enforcement agency or a bail agency. In this case, the dollar was so much, the value was so high, they were a group of private investors that invested in the company, and they were a little bit more interested in it, and he went quietly again. He's not a violent guy, so.
I see. I got you. All right. Well, listen, I'll come by for some iced tea at the plantation later on. glad you called, Kane. Thank you, sir. Let's try Garrett. He's in Orange. He's on line 1. He said it's a wild life being a private investigator.
Bet it is.
Lots of ups and downs.
I went to the Starbucks and I found that perpetrator. And I said, "You, sir, have made a desperate mistake, sir."
Garrett, what can you add to the conversation about being a private eye? Is it too late for Ralph to get into it? And do you think that he would enjoy it?
No, he'd definitely enjoy it. It's fun. I mean, there's... You had people talking about having to pee in cars and stuff like that. Man, if you've ever been on a surveillance case, you better have a big, large-mouth Gatorade jug sitting in there.
Yeah, large
Slow
mouth.
Down, Garrett.
Large
we
mouth,
get
buddy.
It. Large.
That's right.
Hey, but, man, these people in California that do this stuff, they have it off easy. If you're doing a surveillance case in Texas, I mean, you're sitting in 100
30-degree car sitting there taking off all your clothes trying to keep cool. You can't have your car running. When it's freezing cold outside. Yeah. So
what kinds of people as a PI were you mostly going after?
Engine running, Garrett.
We had a lot of infidelity cases.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
The most fun one, I'll keep it short, but my dad and I got hired by three wives. They were out in Mississippi. They flew into Irving, Texas. They were going in for a convention, and the wives had suspicion they were doing some kind of fishy stuff. So anyways, all the guys at the airport knew when their flight was coming in, so followed them to the hotel, checked in the hotel, and I'm like, all right, well, let's go down to the bar, grab a drink or something. So we go down to the bar, and kind of the point of a PI is to not be seen, but to see everything. So we go into this bar, and literally it's just us and the three guys.
You're like, hey, how's it going?
Well,
you guys cheating? Hey, any cheating going on in here?
Come here often. So we're like, man, how do we do this? Because if they see us the rest of the weekend, we're screwed. So,
yeah, your cover's been blown, right?
Yeah, I challenged one of the guys to a game of pool. We ended up hitting it off, and they're like, oh, man, we're going to go out to some clubs. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, we'll go dance or drink or whatever. And they were like, no, some strip clubs. I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, well, why don't you ride with us? Come on, we'll get a limo. Okay, so.
So now you're in, man.
Yeah.
They were the architects of their own disaster.
We were front row for this show. I mean, they took us out, and he's like, oh, let me get your next round. Let me get you a lap dance. I'm like, little do you know, you're getting all my lap dances, dude. You've been buying all my beers tonight. So
did they end up being cheaters?
See there, PI. We can't use that kind of language.
Okay.
So you and your dad were a PI team?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best show ever.
Yeah, that's a great show.
You guys are a TV show.
I'd watch it.
You are a TV show. All right, Garrett, so glad you shared. So what do you think, Ralph? Are you ready for a midlife career change?
Get out of this dump, and I'm going to get myself a hat and a coat and a gun and a big mouth Gatorade bottle.
I don't know.
Huge mouth.
Really?
Giant.
Okay.
Yeah.
This has been Private Eyes.
Reach out and touch faith.
It did turn into a dance party when that came on.
Seriously.
Never seen Allie so happy.
At the end of the song? That sound?
It is odd. Yeah.
Really?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that ever.
And Violator's one of my favorite albums.
It sounded okay to me. It sounded normal to me.
Listen.
I thought, reach out, touch faith. And then it just goes dead, I thought.
Maybe Kevin just kills it after that.
For all those years.
He's in a hurry. You don't know, man.
You guys, Depeche Mode.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. We actually
Depeche
heard it.
Depeche Alamo.
We heard it.
Depeche
Alamo. Please don't.
We got to play
that
Depeche Alamo.
Don't ruin.
Hey, what kind of ice cream makes up Neapolitan?
Joe Pesci asking questions about ice cream, Allie. You're missing the point of the whole game.
I remember being mad listening to
that. Things are in Rocky Road? Okay, Henry, tell me what things are in Rocky Road.
If we end up giving away tickets for Depeche Mode, we very may well, when they come to the Hollywood Bowl later this year, maybe we'll play that game again, Ralph.
Depeche Alamo.
All right.
Good
Hey, it's Friday morning here on K-Rock. It's 8:53. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph. What's going on?
Let me give you something.
Great.
It's Friday, and let's kick off the weekend with a party. Like Life, the movie Life.
Yay!
This film, man. It's terrifying. Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, Rebecca Ferguson. Astronauts go to Mars. They pick up some stuff. They say, hey, look, this looks like cool life stuff. Nope. They put in that petri dish.
That is a line from the movie.
And it grabs the dude and it starts killing him.
From the petri dish?
Yes.
Wow.
So if you'd like to see this film, it looks terrifying and awesome. We're having a special K-Rock advanced screening of Life on March 22nd at the Arclight Hollywood. The movie's in theaters everywhere on the 24th, but you'll get to see it early if you're one of our callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. Since the screening is on March 22nd, let's take caller number 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26.
Okay.
Five callers. 1-800-520-1067.
Too many people on Earth. I think they're right.
Right.
So we got to figure out a way to
Mars.
Get to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Make some more people up there or something.
Yes.
I don't know. It's getting crowded down here.
Sure is. Mm-hmm. Well, Rodney Bean's going. I think you two could share a rocket. Would that be the best trip in space history?
Oh, my God.
I need that now.
Rodney and Bean in a spaceship together for 3 years on the way to Mars. Now that's a show I'd watch.
Yeah.
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 I think I might say yes to that. I think I might do it. That's how much I want to go to Mars.
Why?
I would go, even with Rodney, I think I would go.
Because
he'll die in the first year.
Oh my God.
I mean, he's going to, on Earth or at Mars, he's going to die. He's an old man.
That is horrible of you.
Well, I'm
even
sorry.
Of you.
I'm not responsible for how long ago he was born.
Cranky.
Right, Rodney? Speaking of this weekend, I wanted to give you a heads up. We were going to have Andy Dick on the show today. And Kathy Carlson, who is a film director, who she put together this film called Everybody Has an Andy Dick Story, which is an hilarious documentary. It's just what you think. And it's true in Hollywood. Almost everyone you run into.
For sure.
Has had some run-in with Andy Dick. And she is a longtime friend of Andy's and decided to make a documentary about and interview all these people who have all these Andy Dick stories.
Oh, wow.
And the film is amazing. It's got Dana Gould in it, your buddy Greg Fitzsimmons wears little hats.
He wears little hats.
He's in it. Pardo is in it. It's so funny, Jimmy. A ton of legendary comedians and actors and people who knew Andy back in the day when he first started. Ben Stiller's interviewed. It's a great film. And they're having a fundraising event to help send the documentary to film festivals. And it's happening this Sunday at the Hollywood Improv. The Improv on Melrose there, March 19th at 9:30 p.m. Tickets are just $25. They're available at improv.com. And a bunch of the people from the film are going to be there. Andy's going to be there. Moby will be there, who tells an amazingly funny Andy Dick story in the documentary. Lady Bunny, Dana Gould, many, many other comedians will be there. It promises to be a very fun night, and you should check it out. That's Sunday night, this Sunday, March 19th, 9:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv. Improv.com is the place to go to get your tickets.
I want to go to there.
You do want to go to there and have a good time. Timothy Hutton has just been added to the cast of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan series on Amazon. Mm. I love Tim Ryan. Tim Hutton, rather. And I think he is really having a renaissance in his career. How
yeah.
He's so great on American Crime.
He started off being sort of like a kid actor, then became a star in a film called Ordinary People.
Oh, man.
Which is a devastating film. I believe he was Oscar nominated for his role in that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then always worked. But since American Crime, he's been one of the recurring players in that repertoire company. He's amazing. And now he's joining Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan on Amazon. John Krasinski will play the role of Jack Ryan. Has been played, of course, by many other actors in movies and TV shows. But it starts in 2018. So I'm looking forward to that. More TV news. Sci-Fi Network has picked up another season of its time travel drama, 12 Monkeys, for a fourth and final season. So people will get to see the culmination of that storyline, which I think is pretty awesome.
Like a monkey?
Like a monkey. And Matthew Perry was a pretty nasty kid, apparently. He was on Jimmy Kimmel this week, and he admitted to the fact that he beat up Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau when they were both in fifth grade.
This is uncool, man.
Very uncool. Matthew admits he was a terrible, stupid kid and felt bad about it. But he also says he thinks he would maybe be instrumental in Justin Trudeau's rise to international fame in politics.
I mean, you just can't get away with that, bro.
Allie, that may have been one of those events that shaped Justin Trudeau into the man he is today.
Isn't it a bit presumptuous to be like, I probably made him?
I think he was just being, I think he was kidding about
him. Matthew Perry?
Yes.
Really? I'd like to punch him in the face.
He said, Could I be more influential? That's what he said about
Here's that. A really good point that assistant producer Christine brings up. Even though she's in a prescription drug-fueled haze today,
she really
still
is.
Thinking
she is blackout right now. Right. It's amazing
she's got
to
Irish
watch.
Whiskey in her, too, by the way. So.
Maybe a little bit of that, too. But she asks a really good question. Isn't it shocking to you guys that Matthew Perry and Justin Trudeau are the same age? Because Matthew Perry looks at least 20 years older than Mr. Trudeau.
You are
That's
a tear
harsh.
Today. You are
but
a mean,
true,
mean
though.
Man today.
Justin Trudeau is a little baby face. Matthew Perry looks hard.
Listen, Justin Trudeau, I think, only looks so good because he won the genetic lottery. He's just a pretty man.
But he's very youthful looking as well. He does not look his age,
And Matty P has done some damage over the years. I think he's had a few cocktails.
You know.
I think that's her point. Is prescription
it's
shocking what a difference they are.
And if, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you know, scrupulously.
Wow.
You you know, you look, you get some wear and tear on the old on the old chassis.
Sure. And he is, to be fair, 2 years older than Justin Trudeau, according to IMDb.
Perry is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go.
Each year is worth 10. Got it.
Wow. I mean,
you. Not everyone could be as youthful and handsome as you, Bean.
Thank
you.
You
he just, has no idea.
Just because you
how
get
we
a,
live.
You get a happy surprise every time you look in the mirror doesn't mean that you can just be so cruel and look down your nose at the rest of us.
I'm just saying.
You're just lucky, man. You're just blessed that you have all that good stuff going on there with you.
Asshole. Excuse me.
Alex. Today's celebrity birthday is John Boyega. You know him as Finn from The Force Awakens, and I'm sure you'll see him again in The Last Jedi. 25 years old today. Hozier's 27. Rob Kardashian's 30 years old. Billy Corgan celebrates his 50th birthday. Rob Lowe is 53. Gary Sinise, 62. And Kurt Russell, 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning in the 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show, we'll do the grand prize drawing to find out who's going to have Panic at the Disco come to his or her home for a home invasion. That is, that's the grand prize drawing. The qualifying prize is a chance to see this great live band at the Forum on a sold-out show on March 28th. And congratulations to Karina Delgado from Chino Hills. She just won her tickets. Karina, good luck. Pull them for you. We might call your name again on Monday morning. All right, it's Kevin DeBean Show at 9:06. NOC's Alternative Rock. It's Friday morning, St. Patrick's Day. Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Look at all the U2 we played today, you guys. I swear to God, it was just
so
like
much
not.
U2.
It was like living in Dublin today.
Yeah.
And just, I still haven't found
just one U2 song after another, man. Couldn't get enough of it. Anyway, 9:35, Ralph's got our
Why
final
didn't we play some Irish music today?
Right?
I don't know.
Why didn't we play Dropkick Murphys? Or
a
the,
little Shipping Up to Boston,
or the
Pigs.
Because we're
or
not
the commitments.
Because we're not in charge of that stuff, those decisions, I guess.
Well,
we did play the Cranberries.
One little Cranberries.
That might have been a coincidence, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was scheduled anyway.
And POD.
POS.
Oh.
What?
What? Can you in the
Zombie? Zombie.
Anyway, we're regrouping.
Do we play Land
Your Bombs and James Gunn? And they were talking about that show today, weren't they?
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph. He's got a hot steaming cup of fresh coffee. Looks like you're
I am.
You're settled in.
Hot cup of health.
Ready to go for it?
Sláinte, everyone, as we
and
say
as
in,
well.
In the old country. St. Patrick. Right? St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Died in 461.
Mm.
Wow.
Long time ago.
That was a long time
and
ago.
And I heard this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show that he was not even Irish.
He was English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kidnapped by pirates.
Yeah.
And brought to the Isle, the Emerald Isle.
Wasn't named Patrick.
Nope.
Everything about this day is a lie.
He took his name when he became a bishop. And there's a lot of priests did back in the day. You would take a mm-hmm. religious name as opposed to your given
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm. Like the Pope does now.
Right.
Like we do at confirmation. We take a middle name of a saint.
Right.
Mine's Aloysius. Thank you for joining us.
Aloysius?
Yeah. I don't know. Don't know.
Is that even a name?
St. Aloysius.
Aloysius. Yeah, uh-huh. I heard, but not Aloysius.
Oh, what did I say?
You said Aloysius.
Yeah, I don't think so. That
sure
is dumb.
Now,
it's usually a male name, Aloysius.
It sounded like Allie, so I took it.
Oh.
Do you ever use that name for anything other than that ceremony?
Porn.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She was Aloysius Thrust,
yes.
I think, was her porn
Thanks
name.
Thanks for watching.
Anyway, Patrick died on either March 8th or 9th, but they couldn't agree on which date it was. So the Catholic Church got together and said, you know what, we're going to add 8 and 9 together, and we'll just make it March 17th. And that's why we'll celebrate him on the 17th.
So there's a whole bunch of historical significance to this date.
Whole bunch of lies. There were never any snakes in Ireland, by the way.
What?
Yeah. Snakes became a euphemism for the heathens that, as bishop, he cast out of Ireland.
So we drove out the heathens.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Where's the Ralph Garman fun fact jingle? I feel like we need one here.
On St. Patrick's Day, I think you can learn a few things about St. Patrick.
Okay.
It's not just a random beanism.
And it's Paddy, not Patty.
Paddy D's, yeah, because right. the Gaelic Padraic is spelt with a D.
Yeah, Paddy, that just means Patricia. That's
I'm,
all that
I'm
is.
I'm concerned because I don't want to be like Bean.
Oh, my God.
And his whole, you know, and daylight so saving versus savings.
And so it begins.
It's a lot, right?
Right.
But I will tell you, people that are tweeting...
With the T's? With the two
no,
T's?
No, not that.
Well, what?
No,
what?
Worse.
Pats?
Nope.
Pats?
Nope.
What? I don't... You're scaring me.
They're tweeting a freaking four-leaf clover.
Oh, instead of the
shamrock. Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's a big no-no.
Give us a call right now if that's bothering you. 1-800-521.
I don't think we're doing a phone topic on it, but point taken.
You know, our president made some merch, because he's all about the merch, our president. And he made some green Make America Great Again hats.
Oh.
And he was going to sell them for St. Patrick's Day, and he, too, put a four-leaf clover on the back
Did
of the
he
hat.
Did
Yeah. Made a lot of people unhappy. I believe they pulled that from his merch site.
So our president has a merch site.
Of course he does.
Well, I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
That's where the money is, Allie. You got to know. True. It's not about the tour. It's about the merch.
That's a good point.
Ask anyone. By the way, our president also recited his favorite Irish proverb. And it turned out to be a poem from a Nigerian. It was a Nigerian poet. So
loser.
I don't know if 45 is really strong when it comes to the Irish holidays.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do better.
Unbelievably
in the
bad.
Future, it's not good.
Punch him in the face.
Oh, come on now. Let's not get.
Sit down.
All right. Jeez. Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez show no sign of slowing down their relationship.
I'm going to build a wall around her.
All right, easy. The hot new duo is in Miami. And they were caught by paparazzi there where she wore black workout pants, a shirt made of netting, and a yellow neon sports bra.
Go on.
They were parked in his Maybach when the photographers caught up with them and... apparently, he has a home there. That's why they were there, and they were working out together, I guess.
In quotes, or?
Yeah, no, actually working out
oh,
together.
Oh, working out.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking couple.
They are a good-looking couple. I approve. They can start procreating right now if they like. You know Malin Ackerman from Billions?
Yes. Sure.
She's really talented and lovely. She is in talks, apparently, to co-star with Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the Rampage movie based on the video game of the same name from the 1980s. Now, wasn't there a Rampage movie before by that Uwe Boll guy, that awful German director?
Yeah, like some guy who goes like on a killing spree or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, so they're going to be working together, which is cool. More casting news. Henry Cavill is apparently working with Tom Cruise in the upcoming Mission Impossible 6. So I would look forward to seeing those two guys work together. And here is maybe my favorite showbiz story of the week. Katy Perry is trying to buy a convent because it's a lovely building. And apparently the Archdiocese of Los Angeles is looking to sell the property. So she's been trying to pick up the former convent in Los Feliz and turn it into her new home.
For a long time she's been trying to do this, right?
Yes. Now, the Archdiocese has okayed the purchase. She is offering $14.5 million for the property.
Probably cash, too.
Probably.
Just give it to me.
They are willing to sell her that. However, the nuns who live there refuse. The nuns refuse to let her have the property.
Because they would have to move out if it changed hands?
Nope. Because they say Katy Perry participated in the Salem Witch Walk in 2014, which means she's a witch.
Oh.
And they refuse to sell her the building because of her satanic connections.
No.
This is true.
I don't think
she's a witch.
That's real. Are you serious?
Yes. Now the Vatican has to step in and sign off in order to get them to move out and sell the property.
How do the nuns feel about Katy Perry kissing a girl and liking it? Do they have any complaints about that?
No, because nuns are, you know.
Okay.
Right?
I'm not sure that's proven, but...
I don't know. I think they're more concerned about witchcraft than they
are
lesbianism.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's That's interesting.
Well, I don't like
if I was Katy Perry, I would so get a skywriter to write, like, Surrender Dorothy in the sky over the house. And I would just hook up some wires and get a broom, and I would just start flying around the neighborhood.
What's wrong with you? Why are you effing with nuns?
Because that would terrify the nuns, because they apparently believe witches are a thing. Nobody gets me, man. All right, let me give you something, and then I'm out of here.
All right.
I have been talking for the past couple weeks all about PaleyFest. Love PaleyFest. It is a series of events dedicated to your favorite TV shows put on by the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. It's March 17th, that's today, through the 26th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. And they really do a great job of bringing you the cast and creative minds behind some of your favorite television shows. Always fascinating. Almost always sells out. We were able to grab some tickets to some of the bigger nights. And this one is going to be a big one because I know there's a ton of fans for this program. ABC's Scandal. We'll be celebrating its 100th episode at PaleyFest this year. You'll get to see the cast and creative minds behind that show. March 26th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. If you're a fan of Scandal, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through with that number will get a pair of tickets to go see An Evening with ABC's Scandal. If you'd like to see the rest of the lineup and see if there's any tickets available for some of the other evenings, you can go to paleyfest.org. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Boyega is 25 years old today. Hozier is 27. Billy Corgan, 50 years old. Rob Lowe is 53. Gary Sinise, 62 years old. And Kurt Russell, one of my favorite people, 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with his beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. And thanks again to James Gunn for being on the program today.
The director of
He directed the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the writer and producer of this new Belko experiment that's opening up everywhere this weekend. It's a movie we've had a chance to see. And if you like, well, if you've seen the trailer, you know what the movie's about. And if that's the kind of movie you're into, this one's a great one.
And this weekend also, I hope you'll come out to see my new movie, The Falco Experiment, which is very different. It's about a bunch of people trapped in a building, and they have to sing Rock Me Amadeus to each other.
Would also like to see that movie.
Sounds
pretty good.
Until they start killing themselves, yes.
SoCal Health Line dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win, you guys, with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock. Next week on the Kevin and Bean Show, not only the return of the Monkey, not any more singles party giveaway tickets, but the great Bob Saget will be here, and on Tuesday morning, Dave Roberts, the manager of your L.A. Dodgers, too.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's not a very nice show.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's what she said.
Roll another one.
Tina, come get some ham.
Just like the other one.
He's a hater.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't think anyone's going to lick anything.
And I need another hit.
Every minute that you're smoking weed, you're killing your brain cells. You're taking something away from yourself. You know, you're taking a minute off of your life that you could have been here on this earth, that you could have done something special.
Smoke weed!
Roll another one.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
Just like the other one.
He should be put in the electric chair.
How about that whole deal?
I don't have another cent.
No, you three are not allowed to have inside jokes that I'm not a part of.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Just pass it around.
They're all dead now.
My level of interest? Zero.
I ask you to stop what you're doing. I don't just mean this, I mean everything. The show, the music, it's all just awful.
Oh! Shut it down! Oh, let's go home! It's a wrap, Doug!
That is a wrap.
Woo! Shut it down! Let's go home!
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, gotta say goodnight. I gotta get some sleep. I was up all night last night making long-distance calls and trying to help someone out. Anyway, I got more music and things to play coming up right after this. the monkeys. Here they are.